The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. And you're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're having a good day and a good evening wherever you are. May the Lord bless you. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And we have two open lines. We had a problem with the phones yesterday, but hey, it's working. So give me a call. And also, if you don't want to call, but you want to have a question or comment read on the air, you can just email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. It just occurred to me, I wonder if we could do something like a Messenger as well. Facebook Messenger. I don't know, we'll figure something out, get more people coming in. All right, real simple. And today's date is May 2nd, 2023. So there you go. All right, why don't we just get on the air? Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Should Christians be more attentive towards the AI threat?
More what? Towards the what?
More attentive towards the AI threat.
Well, if there is an AI threat, I certainly want to know about it. I don't know of one, and I have kept my finger on the pulse of some things. I suspect that what's happening is more and more AI-type technologies are being used in areas that we are just not aware of. I suspect that's the case. So other than that, I really can't tell you. I've done AI with pictures, and incredible results. They're just magnificent. And inside of the browser edge is the letter B in the upper right-hand corner. You click that, and it opens up, and you can ask questions. And it does a really good job of answering some questions. It'll do graphics in there as well. So that's the level I'm aware of. And I did spend time talking with a PhD candidate in artificial intelligence development. And from what he was saying, they're not there where it's a threat yet. It can be, potentially, but not for a while. But that was 6 months ago that we talked. So things are going pretty quickly.
Yes.
Other than that, I just don't know. Now, if anybody out there happens to have information about it, I would love to know.
Yes, sir. I know that new chat bot that's out right now, and what's stopping it from becoming sentient, what they do is they put firewalls in place so that it can't think on its own.
Well, sentience means it's alive.
But all those things work off algorithms. So I don't know if that chatbot can think far enough to figure out past them and not let them even know the chatbot is learning on its own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know to the extent that it has infiltrated or is being used. I just don't know. And I don't like to make comments on things if I just don't know. I could say, hey, if this condition is there, then this is bad or good or whatever it is. Other than that, I'm really not sure. So I'm going to just say, if anybody out there knows stuff, articles or some issues that are worth, me looking at, send them to info@carm.org. I want to know. I do, because I am concerned. In fact, my second novel in the series, The Influence, I'm thinking about introducing, I have been thinking about before the AI thing became prominent like it is, I've been thinking about introducing an AI character into it. And so that's what I've been thinking about.
Okay. Okay, well, that sounds good. I'll try to send you some information about My short story that I have. Okay?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I write short stories. Tell me your email again.
Well, it's info@carm.org. All right? Info@carm.org. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. God
all right,
bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, God bless. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to John from Raleigh, North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. In fact, I used GPT chat last week, 2 weeks ago, to had a presentation, and one of those talking heads where you can make an animator animation do your text.
Yep.
So that came out at 7 minutes. I had a 5 minute, and then I put it through to have it analyze each of the scenes and rewrite it so I could get it down to the 5 minutes. And it actually does a great, in a passive way, it does a great job of either putting a professional touch on your text to make it more palatable to your audience. And in that way, it's really great. But other than that, it's pretty scary. I'm calling because Saturday I had a run-in with a JW. I was talking to my friend out in the parking lot and about relationships, and I was saying to the fact that, you know, I can't do that because I'm a Christian, you know that. He goes, well, regardless of that, blah, 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 blah. So they overheard me, said, well, I'm a non-denominational, and I read the gospel, and she gave me a pamphlet, and then I saw the JW, and I asked, well, you know, what Bible do you use? And first she hesitated, and then I guess it's the New World Translation or something like that. And
yeah, it's
that's
corrupted.
When I knew that she was JW, and so I asked her, can I have your name? And she goes, for what? So I said, so I can pray for you so that you can, you know, get out of this cult and out of the heresy and stuff. And it was okay, but it just overtook me, and I was shaking for about 15 minutes.
Afterwards?
You know, like when you're really super mad at something, same type of shaking, but a little bit different. But yeah, afterwards, it took about 15 minutes to calm down, and that I never had that type of a feeling, just, you know, to yes. get into discussion. I mean, we didn't get into any confrontation or anything, but you know, her tone changed and all, and just concerned about that.
Well, it
kind of my first confrontation with anybody in that type of a situation.
Well, there's a couple of possibilities. One is that it's just nerves. Okay, it could be that. Mm-hmm. Another one is it could be a spiritual conflict because there are demonic forces attached to the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it could be a combination of those two things. So, you know, what I would do if I were you is just talk to God about it and not be afraid to give it a go. A second time. And I can tell you, having done this so many times, that I've had similar physiological reactions to situations where I'm agitated or nervous, or, you know, it's because it's different and we're not comfortable with it. And so it takes a while to become used to it. So I think what you're experiencing is perfectly normal.
Okay. Yeah, because it wasn't madness or anything. It was agitation is a really good description of what it was.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I'm not dismissing it, though. But, you know, but it's important to pay attention to it and to pray through it. That's what I would say, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I pretty much talked it through with God and the Lord as I was kind of driving away, and then, you know, just conversation in the mind and whatnot. But yeah, I just
good for you. Seriously, no, seriously, it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it's just different, and it's a little bit of risk to do something like that, to confront somebody who, you know, is in that state. So it's good. You know, you did fine, and your reaction, trust me, is perfectly normal. Okay? It is. Just
very good.
And you'll,
thank you.
Next time you'll do better. I mean, or I don't want to say better.
Yeah.
You might not do better. I mean, who knows? You know what I mean? It just next time you probably won't have as much as a reaction, and that's okay.
Yeah. Kind of like talking in front of people type thing.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I did it, I was nervous. Now, bigger to the crowd, the better. So no big deal. We have to just get accustomed to it. That's all it is.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well, first toe in the water.
Good for you. Good for you. All right, man.
All right. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Bye. All right. Yeah, I love hearing stuff like that because he's out there doing it, talking to him. And, you know, it's not always easy to do, and it's not. But you just got to give it a shot, and you'll be blessed by it. Yeah, good stuff. Let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air. Hello? Alberto. Alberto. I'm talking to you. I'm hoping that you're there.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Uh-huh. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, man. So what's up, man? What do you got?
Yeah, my question is, you know, people say white privilege. My question is, if an African-American man has American U.S. citizenship and a man from Africa comes in here, he doesn't have American U.S. citizenship. So who's more privileged? And they're both black. White privilege all the time.
Privilege is subjective. So I consider myself to be very privileged. But I've worked very hard at the same time. So, you know, and I have friends who have more than me and less than me. Are they more privileged or blessed? It's all subjective, okay? So, you know what I'm saying?
It's like me. If I'm a child of God and I have access to the very throne of God, other religions don't have that access. I'm very privileged to have that access to the blood of Jesus Christ. Apply to my soul, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right.
So all this stuff going on, social justice and all that stuff, is a bunch of baloney, right?
Well, I think a lot of it is. I think it's contrived. I still think that there are inequities in this world, but you don't solve them by taking away from one person to give to another. That's communism. Like Biden, he's a commie, as far as I'm concerned. And what he wants to do is, for example, interest rates for those who want to borrow on homes and things like that. If your numbers are real high and you've been really good, then your interest rate will be a little bit higher to help pay for the other people who aren't as responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So you're penalized for your hard work, and the others are rewarded for their failures. So that they don't get this because they're stupid. They're morons. And so but I'm not saying we don't want to help people, okay? And there are inequities, but they need to be worked out. They need to be worked out properly without a redistribution of wealth that's forced on people. What needs to happen is the opportunities need to be equally presented among people, not lowering the standard, but raising the quality of the individuals. This means our education has to be improved. But education right now just sucks canal water, and it's pretty bad. So there's a lot of issues and things there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for clearing it up more.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Okay. You too. God bless. All right. Hey, folks. Four open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. And give me a call. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Let's get to Ryan from Pennsylvania. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Matt, yesterday I called, and what I usually do after I call you, I take a look at the repeat and to try to see what sort of errors that I had made. And while I was going through the rerun of it, you posted a personal insult in the chat on Rumble about me, and you and I had a formal, informal understanding that we would treat each other with respect, and your buddy Charlie flashed up on the screen that I deny the essentials of the Christian faith. I do not. He lied about me when he did that.
Well, two things. One, a lie is an intentional deception, and I think I remember saying, I don't know if he does or doesn't. I don't think he does, Charlie. Remember that? You remember that, too?
Well, nonetheless, that is a false representation of my faith. You want me to tell you what I believe about the essentials and what the essentials are?
Sure. No problem at all.
Okay. I believe in the Trinity, as classically described, as I believe in one God, expressed as three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe in Christ's virgin birth. I believe in Christ's historic resurrection, and I believe in his atoning sacrifice for my sins. Is that essential enough?
Yeah, sounds good. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
give you more,
then tell your buddy Charlie,
quiz you
to
more, but that's
correct
okay.
that on the screen.
Okay, I will make sure he knows that you believe the essentials, okay?
Okay. And also, are you going to apologize for your personal insult upon me yesterday?
What personal insult?
You said that I did not have both paws in the logic box.
I don't think you do. And it's not an insult. It's just a comment. I don't think you do. Okay? I think you make logic mistakes, okay? That's not an insult.
Well, okay, Matt, why don't you tell your audience right now, how many college classes in logic have you taken?
None.
None. I have taken four undergraduate logic courses and four graduate courses in logic. Now, you are in the same category as people who criticize Calvinism, having never studied Calvinism. Now, you would not accept their opinion as authoritative, and no one should take your opinion as authoritative because you have no formal training.
So are you saying then I have to have formal training, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you make too many mistakes about the nature of logic.
Okay. What's modus ponens?
Modus ponens? That's when you have if A, then B, A, therefore B.
And
that's
what's modus tollens? What's modus tollens?
Modus tollens? If A, then B, not B, therefore A.
Good. Okay. And you know what logical positivism
that's
is, right?
First year logic.
Okay. Huh? That's great. And so you know what? How about this? Abduction.
Abduction? I'm not sure what you mean by that. Do you know what a destructive syllogism is?
Disjunctive? Yeah, you have two possibilities. It is
true dichotomy. No. Destructive dilemma.
Oh, no, I don't. What's a destructive syllogism?
That's when you have two conditional statements, and you can infer the positive of either one. So premise number one would be if A, then B. The premise number two would be if C, then D. And then you have not B or not B, not D, and you can conclude not A or not C. That is a constructive dilemma in logic. Oh, that is first year logic.
Okay, good.
Okay?
And you know what a Cartesian scenario is, too, then?
Sure. And you told me one time that A and not A is not a contradiction. It certainly is. That is first year logic.
A and not A. No, that's not a logic. That's not a statement. It's you just give me a condition without a statement, so it doesn't make sense.
No, A and B. And B. That is a contradiction. Yeah. You don't need two statements to have a contradiction.
What?
That is first
to say A and B is not a contradiction. If I say apple and orange, it doesn't mean it's a contradiction.
A and not A is a contradiction.
If it's both to be said to be true at the same time in the same sense in the same way. Then you have a contradiction.
No.
Yes.
A and not A is first order contradiction. A or not A is first order tautology. That is basic stuff, and you don't even have that, Matt.
Okay, thank you. So then why do you make so many mistakes?
Well, because I'm human also, and I'm trying to learn also.
Okay, and so what's abduction?
I don't know what abduction is and how you're using it.
Okay, you know what induction is?
Sure.
And what's the problem of induction?
The problem with induction is you draw a conclusion, but it's not necessarily drawn.
That's right, not a necessity, right. And deduction is, and then we'll get to abduction.
Okay, deduction is when you have premises and the conclusion is necessarily drawn.
Good, and an abduction is...
And by the way, your definition of induction and deduction on karma is false. It is wrong.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell you what, why don't you do this? Why don't you give me some good quotes from official sources and say what it is? Send them to me at info. I'm always open to being corrected and modifying stuff. So back to abduction. Well, I've got thousands. I mean, you know, just send them. But abduction.
Yeah, so that's your excuse. Well, here, okay.
Wait. It's not a dismissive excuse. It's a fact. We're researching endogenous retroviruses while I'm developing summaries, while I'm doing work on video stuff for 1 Minute Christianity I'll be producing pretty soon, and I'm trying to finish up editing a novel and then preparing for writing another one. While I'm taking care of my wife, while I do radio, while I do Bible study preparation on Thursdays and Wednesdays when I do the stuff I have, and I'm being asked to go speak in places, it's not just a dismissive excuse. And inside of my email list, I got thousands and thousands. So abduction is an argument used to make an assumption or providing the best guess. Not logically necessary, but is probable. It's called abduction. This is basic logic, too.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I have never heard that term in any logic course. I appreciate you telling me that.
Okay.
So you're positing a premise that is probably true, but not necessarily true.
Right, it's the probability, and then you know what internalist justification, externalist justification is.
Sure, internal is when you're referring to things within the same set. External is when you're referring to things outside of the set.
Good. There you go. All right. So, yeah. So I've not had any formal training, but I've learned an awful lot, haven't I?
Well, do you know what a contradiction is in modal logic? Do you know the three forms of modal logic?
No, I don't.
Okay. That is also first-year logic. When you're dealing with necessity and possibility, contingency and contingency, these are all very firmly consistent logical systems that violate your so-called universal laws of logic.
No, they
don't. Clearly change, and therefore to say they're unchanging is false.
Wait a second, so the laws of logic change?
Of course they do, according to the logical system.
So, wait a minute, so the law A equals A, does that change?
You're using the wrong terminology again. It is not A equals A, it's A is identical to A.
Okay. So, are we talking about Leibniz, a law of identity here? I'm just asking.
Leibniz.
Is that what you're... Yeah. Something Leibniz, law of identicals, right? Well, okay, so
That's one.
A is equal to A, if all the properties of A equals all the properties of A, then A is identical to A, right?
Not necessarily, because you can have two cherries and two oranges that are equal, but they're not identical.
Oh, I see what you mean by the identical as being the ontos of the same essence. Yeah, see? Yeah, I have conversations like this all the time with people, with atheists.
Well,
hey, there's a break, buddy. So send me more information.
And you're still making the same mistakes you've always made. I would appreciate it if you quit lying about me and the essentials of the faith.
Okay, we're not lying. Okay, we're not lying to you. Okay? You just don't like what we're saying. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Jeff from Raleigh, North Carolina. Jeff, welcome. You're on the air. Hello? Jeff, are you there? Uh-oh. Don't know if we're hearing him. I'm waiting. I'm stalling, so there's not dead air. Hey, Jeff, you're there? I heard a noise. Jeff. Maybe he's panicking. Who knows? Okay, tell you what. Let's try this, Jeff. I'm going to hang up on you and call back. Maybe just get a better connection because I'm hearing clicks but not hearing anything that's working. So call back, Jeff, okay? All right, kind of disconnected from him there, so hopefully he'll call right back. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Ooh, could I please explain the significance between the Son of Man and the Son of God? That's a good question. I think I did an article on that. Son of Man and Son of God. Because off the top of my head, I know what the basics are. But I'm trying to see if I went through. And I did an article on each, or I did it on the Son of Man. And anyway, so you can go to Carmen, what is meant by the term Son of Man. So I went through and did a an analysis on it. Basically, when it says, Jesus says, the Son of Man who descended from heaven, and he's referencing Daniel chapter 7, which specifically mentions the issue of the Son of Man. He's going to have dominion and stuff like that. So there's a, when I remember, there's a distinction between the Son of Man and Son of God, but there's also a blending of those in the term Son of Man, because in the context, the Son of Man out of Daniel talks about his divinity, and yet in the New Testament, when he says the Son of Man who, there's not an exact declaration of his divinity. But the Son of God certainly implies his divinity, because out of John 5:18, Jesus was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So I think that is a really good question. And in fact, what I'm going to do is put it in my question list. I have a list of a lot of questions. So what I'm going to do is put that right there. And then hopefully I'll have time to research it, because there's just a lot of good things to research. There really are. All right. So we don't have any other. Let's see now. Let's see if we can get some more stuff here. All right. Here we go. Maybe this guy says seeking guidance in relation to something. Okay, I can't get it. I'll just go over here. Trying to glance through stuff. But here we go. Let's get into some of the questions. And if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Someone says, Pat says, really enjoyed listening to the radio show. Heard you were considering leaving YouTube. Oh, that's right. We already talked about that. And I already answered that. Okay. I tried calling in previously to discuss Mormon topics with you on your radio show, and you've deferred to have me talk to a Mormon expert. I think this guy called back the second day, and we spoke. So he gave me his cell number, so we can always talk. And he's always welcome to come back on the air. In fact, any Mormon is to talk about what Mormons actually teach, Mormonism. Jehovah's Witnesses are welcome. Muslims are welcome. Atheists are welcome. See, this is the show here is about giving answers to people. That's one of the things I want to do, is provide answers for Christians. Now, I'm not saying I have all the answers, and there's certainly the case I have a lot more to learn. But what I want to do is equip Christians to the best of my ability, and I've been studying for a long time. So there's always more to learn. Oh, that's for sure. There's always a lot more to learn. But nevertheless, so if a Mormon or J-Dub or atheist or evolutionist wants to call up, we can talk about stuff. I don't have any problem with that. Give me a call and we can talk. And if you're a Christian and you're not sure about biblical something here or there, then you can do the same thing. Give me a call too and we can talk. There's so much to talk about. And there's so much to explain. So here's some questions I've got. I'm thinking about working on something to make the basics of the Bible as simple as easy. As simple as easy? Wow. As simple as possible to make it as easy as possible. So, I don't know how many people would be interested in something where for less than 1 minute I speak on a topic on a video. And then that's it. 1 minute, and that's it. On one topic. And then go to another topic for 1 minute. And so each video is about 60 seconds, might be 62, 3, 4 seconds, something like that, because of an intro, outro. But that's the idea. And I want to call it 1 minute Christianity. So I want to be able to give people answers to issues. Now, if you like that idea, I want to know. And I also want to know what kind of topics you would like me to cover. Because what I'm doing is developing an outline in such a way that when it's released, that anybody could go to it, and you go down the scroll to the questions, the problems, the issues, the topics, click it, and you get a one-minute answer. And the goal is to have the text read on there as well, you know, show up as I'm talking and things like that. We're going to see how sophisticated it can get. So it's just a lot of work. But this is one of the things I want to do, because my goal is to equip the body of Christ. And I want people to understand what the truth is. And I believe that as things get worse for us in this world, where ungodliness is on the rise and where Christians' ignorance is also on the rise, sorry, but it is, I think that the solution, in part, is to educate and equip the people of God. Now, this is really important to do because the Bible talks about several things that I've mentioned periodically. Because Paul the Apostle says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." Whenever I read that, I think of Joel Osteen. I do. I just think of Joel Osteen. "And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Now, what's interesting about this, to sound doctrine, is it says what the word sound there is hugaiono, and it means to be healthy, physically well, sound, good. And then the word doctrine there is from the Greek didaskalos. And didaskalos, here in the Greek here, didaskalai, but didaskalos has to do with teaching. So maybe you've heard the phrase didactic teaching, didactic approach. It's a style of teaching. It sometimes just involves questions and answers going through systematically, point by point. And that's what I like to do. I like to teach sound doctrine. And I've defended the Christian faith. The first word that came in my head was for centuries, but that's not correct. For decades, I've been debating it, working through it from various angles to the point where I think I have a pretty good understanding of it. And so what I want to do is lay the foundation down for that. And so I'm interested in your comments. Now, if you're on Rumble, tell me what you think, you know, that you can call up and say, "Hey, I think it's a good idea. We could talk about it." Because I've been working slowly behind the scenes, getting everything ready. There's only one or two more things I got to get ready. And hopefully, by the end of the week, maybe starting next week, I can start trying some of these. I have to get everything just right, all the peripherals, so that I can just pump them out. I've been writing the text that I have to read with the teleprompter so that it's efficient and quick and things like that, to see how that works. So, you know, that's it. That's it, okay? Also, for those of you who might be curious about what the show's about, in the issue of watching and following, we have a Rumble account, rumble.com, and you can go to Matt Slick Live. That's for the radio show. Matt Slick Live, one word, rumble.com/Matt Slick Live, and then /live. That will give you the show right now that's on. But Matt Slick Live is the show. And you can watch it, and there's a bunch of people in there in the live chat. And we've really become friends. I've met people in there, and in that one and other chat systems. So if that sounds enjoyable to you, or you want to interact with some people, please join us. And we have moderators in there, I'll tell you, because we do have some obstreperous individuals who come in and they're foul and you know, just immature. We get rid of them pretty quickly. But you know, just normal conversation. "Hey, how's it going?" You know, it's a lot of fun in there. And also, we're still on YouTube. And we're not getting rid of YouTube. Someone wrote about this. I want to talk about it a little bit more. We are still on YouTube. We're not getting rid of it, like I said. And we have, I don't even know how many. Maybe someone in the chat can tell me how many followers we have on YouTube for CARM. Because we do have quite a few, thousands and thousands. And so we're not going to be getting rid of that. We still want to feed in. We're going to be modifying how we're doing some things. But we want people to start going over to Rumble. And the reason is because the powers that be at YouTube lean towards the left, and so we get a little bit penalized for stuff that we say, and that's why we're going to Rumble. Anyway, hey, look, there's a break. Give me a call. We have wide open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Courtney, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking. So what do you have?
So my question is, you know how the Bible says that once you're born again, that you are a new creation. So I hear some people say that you are not to refer to yourself anymore as a sinner because you're a new creation. So I was wondering, I mean, I don't think that you should, like, just call yourself a sinner to use it to be able to sin, because I don't, you know what I mean? Like, use it like, oh, I'm just a sinner, I mess up. I mean, I don't think you should do that.
Right.
But at the same time, we're never going to be perfect. So what say you?
Right, and we are sinners. I mean, come on. To say we have no sin is a deception. 1 John 1:8, I believe it is. So, but we don't identify as being sinners. We identify as being Christians. We are the first trans people who identify. We are transformed by the blood of Christ. And so we identify as being in Christ and saved and justified. But on the other hand, we are... We still sin, and to say that we still sin is just simply a truth. You know, I'm still arrogant and prideful and stubborn and stupid in a lot of ways. I don't identify as that. You know, my wife will tell you that's the case. You know, she could. You know, I get her on the air sometime, and people could ask her questions. You know, what's he like? Oh, you don't want to know. You know, it'd be stuff like that. You know, but but usually it's in the positive confession movement where they don't say you're a sinner because then you become one. It's just dumb stuff. They don't really understand in the positive confession movement. So that's a problem there. Okay.
Okay. So in the sense that we are not perfect yet. We are. You know, we all fall short. That sense. Of course, we are still sinners. But I like the way you said that. But we do identify as in Christ. Okay.
That's right.
That makes sense to me.
Transfigured, we're transformed, so we're trans from one to the other. So we're the original trans people. The Christians are. We're transformed by the blood of Christ. Amen. So there you go.
There we go. Okay, I like the way you explain that. Okay.
All right. Well, okay,
thank you.
Okay. All right, well, God bless. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, Courtney. All right. Let's get to... Oh, we have three open lines. Want to give me a call? Four open lines. 877-207-2276. Adam from Minnesota. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How are you?
Doing well, by God's grace. So what do you got, man?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'm a new father to a two-year-old and I expect to another boy in June. So we're excited, my wife and I. It's awesome. Could you give me some practical examples of how we can biblically raise and train our children? And specifically to me as a father, I'm struggling to, you know, find the right thing to do or find God's grace in this kind of area. So if you could help me there, that'd be great.
Well, before I do, I can tell you what the Bible says, but I have to also tell you that my three daughters are not walking with the Lord. And one of them, my eldest daughter, she did some really bad stuff. I don't even want to mention it on the radio how bad it was. And our second daughter is involved in the New Age movement. She didn't even know it. And our third daughter says she's a Christian, but she's kind of not going to church right now. So I can tell you what we did. How we raised our children for the glory of God, how my wife and I did Bible studies with them and devotions with them and prayed with them nightly, took them to church, never forced them to do anything, had a lot of fun with the things of God. We homeschooled them. We did all kinds of stuff. I'm just giving the generalities right now. And yet the world was very tempting and very powerful. I know somebody else let's say his children are also wayward, and he's a man of God, raised him for the Lord. And then I know somebody else, and his children, he's a man of God, and his one of his sons is a pastor. So there's no guarantee. But I can tell you the general things we do. So I don't know if you still want my advice, because I have to just tell you up front.
You know,
I can tell you what we did.
Please.
And stuff.
Please, yeah.
Here's one of the things I think is a good idea, okay, is we started this very young with our children. And thanks, Sola Gratia. We'll come back to the Lord. We pray for that every night, my wife and I pray for our children. So So what, one of the things we'd do, and I remember this, and it was, and the kids loved it. In the high chair, they would do it until they get big enough to be in a chair by themselves. And after dinner, my wife would be there, and I'd open up the Bible, and I would get a real basic Bible. And I wouldn't do sophisticated anything. I might read to the book of Ruth or pick a story of Moses being set free in the river, or, you know, Jesus walking over there. You know, just basic stuff, you know, real low-level stuff. And I would, as I'd read, I would convert it to something age-appropriate. And I would just tell them stories. And they loved it because, you know, a story's about someone doing it. And then Jesus, he went out on the water and he walked on the water. You know, I'd say it like that and they'd be looking. And I'd say, right here, see where it says that? You know, stuff like that. And they would look, you know, they couldn't read it, but they would look, you know. And then after they got to the point where they could read, what I would do is put my finger under the text and, you know, say, Paul the Apostle was on the road to Damascus. Paul the Apostle was on the road to McDonald's. And they go, Dad, what? You said McDonald's. And I'd say, what? And then say, it doesn't say that, you know. So they're paying attention. We're just having fun. And so what we developed into this habit that the kids would be away from me, you know, as like 3 feet away from me, you know, on the side of the table, you know. And when they would catch me doing something like that, I would take the chair and I'd move it towards me, pull it towards me, whatever one said that. And I'd move the chairs closer. And to the point where they would get on my lap and get in the way so that I couldn't read. And I would say, get out of my way, I can't read. And they were giggling. You know, it's just a lot of fun, you know. And then we would close a book and we, you know, I'd embrace them and we'd pray and stuff like that. And that's the kind of stuff we did, you know. And I certainly made mistakes in other areas of life. And, you know, I have Asperger's, so I missed some social cues with my daughter that I didn't know about until I got diagnosed about 10 years ago. I'm 66. And it really helped a lot. So there's, you know, that has some factors in there too. And, you know, our daughters, they went to Awana's and they would talk about Jesus and they knew stuff. And we're, my wife would tell you, we were raised on them in the, you know, in the admonition of the Lord. And then one day one of our daughters just said, you know, I'm so tired of going to this one church. And we thought, well, we can force her to go. And she was very, very mature about it. She goes, you can force me to go. You can tell me you want to go, and I'll go. Because it's, you know, my mom and dad. But I really don't want to be there. So we talked to the pastor. The pastor said, well, don't make her go. You know, because, you know, we wanted an outside advice. And so we said, okay, you don't have to go. I mean, we're not there to force them. And just stuff like that. And then we homeschooled them. And then the last couple, 3 years of high school, they went into high school. And that wasn't a good idea, I don't think, in the long run. But homeschooling, you know, it's just so many variables. You know, I could tell you other things we did and some stuff. But, you know, it's just stuff like that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So you're saying it's more like the everyday interactions, the small day-to-day stuff that really makes a difference in the ministry long term. Okay.
And pray with them. And, you know, there's one thing that if I could do things over again, you never know what's going to work, and there's no guarantees. But I think I would have just spent more time just being ridiculous with them on the ground and just talking and whatever. I don't think I did that enough. You know, you look back and you go, did I do enough with this person or that person? Some people, yes. There's no guarantees, like I said. So, you know, there's things I look back and go, why didn't I do this or why did I do that? You know, it's going to happen. But those are the kinds of things we would do. And we had Bible verses here and there, and we would quote scripture, and they would hear us sing. My wife and I played praise music in the house, and it wasn't an inundation to the point where they're brainwashed and oppressed. We were always very cognizant about not just pushing it, but it just be part of our life. And they grew up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then here they are, you know. So,
awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
I don't know if that helps or not, but... I guess I'm not the best one to give advice because, you know. But if they were walking with the Lord, I would have told you this exact same thing. So, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay?
God bless, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. God bless. All right, let's get to Butch from Florida. Hey, Butch, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Butch.
Okay. Butch, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show. I find your stuff and is insightful on life and love and politics and everything, and religious and all of it, and I respect it and love it.
Good. Are you a Christian, though?
Now, I'm a Christian, and I also have, be honest with you, I know somebody's name is Christian also. As well.
Okay.
But I have a question about Budweiser Light. I'm supposed to stop drinking Budweiser Light because they're woke culture, right, against on the church, and the church doesn't like when you act.
And we're going to move along. Sometimes we get trolls, folks, and I've seen this kind of stuff happen. They start asking questions, and then it gets weird. And I've talked to many atheists who do that, so I just got rid of them. So, it does happen, you know, and if they want to ask some serious questions, that's fine. But I still don't trust the conversation, how it was going. I don't know if he sounded inebriated to you, but he did to me. So anyway, there you go. Yeah, someone wrote it was a prank call. I agree. I think it was a prank call. So, hey, there you go. You dumped it too? Yeah, I did too. Good. Yeah, I think. Hey, folks, let's see. Well, we got about a minute and 10 seconds or so on the show. I want to say thanks for listening. And also, remember, you can I just thought of something, and I don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it because I do it so infrequently, but we do stay on the air by your support. If you like the show and you want to support us, what you can do is just go to carm.org, carm.org/donate. And the information needs right there. It's easy to set up, and it's easy to stop. And we do appreciate your support, if that's okay with you. Just letting you know. We do need your prayer support. It's a difficult ministry, and there's a lot on my plate, and I need your prayers as well. So please pray that God would give me energy and clarity of mind and clarity of purpose according to His will. I mean, that'd be great. Pray for my wife. She had a lot of medical issues. And also, you know, just for the people who are in the chat and who are involved with this ministry, like Laura and Ernie and Charlie and the email helpers as well. Tim is one of them. A lot of good people that we have helping us out. We have missionaries. Maybe we'll get them on the air sometime, too. Missionaries from Brazil, Turkey, and Africa, and Colombia. See? Yeah, we're trying as much as we can in the ministry. Hey, there's the music. I got to go. May the Lord bless you. I am out of here, and by His grace, we're back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.